Biden, Bill Plaschke, Pablo Torre. Three panelists I know are feeling a draft.
Oh,
enough, Tony.
No,
come
really?
On.
Stop. One week
Stop.
Away.
Every
Let's
day.
Go. Spotlight
come
on the Miami Dolphins. Would it be Tua? Could it be Justin Herbert? Today, a piece on ESPN.com by Cameron Wolf on risk. And would it be a bigger risk for the Dolphins to pick Tua, or would the risk be bigger passing on him and having him be great elsewhere? Sarah Spain, around the horn to you. Do you see the Dolphins in a risky position here, and who's the pick?
Well, it depends on whether you're more worried about time or money, right? If you're worried about money, you could be giving money to a guy in Tua Tagovailoa and a top-round pick that is not going to pan out, that you find out very quickly is not the guy that he was before surgery and or suffers another injury. But the potential is high there for a team that hasn't had a Pro Bowl quarterback in 24 seasons. On the other hand, you worry about time, and that is you get another guy in there that you don't think has as high of a ceiling, and you wait and wait and wait and see what he can give you and realize you've wasted 2 to 3 years of a franchise with a quarterback that never had it enough. So I think this is a team that's sick of being mediocre. I think they're going to make a big run and go for Tua.
So the answer to that question, when we get to the end of it, is the risk is not that big. Go for Tua, right? Pablo Torre, how about you?
I think the risk is enormous with Tua because, as we've now heard many times, they can't check out his medicals in person. That's an enormous risk. But what I dispute is this notion that the Dolphins care that the risk is that big. I still think the Dolphins are all in on Tua Tagovailoa, and it is because of the cathedral kind of ceiling on his talent. This is the way the NFL draft always goes. In fact, the fact that we're getting all of this smoke about how they're doing a deep scout on Justin Herbert, I'm seeing that a lot now. That just tells me, man, that's exactly what I'd do if I was the GM of the Dolphins as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the risk is big, but you would take it. And how about you, Bill Plaschke?
I can't believe you. And absolutely not. You don't take this risk. You don't spend millions on sight unseen. They need to get a doctor in there. They don't know what his range of motion is. They don't know what his mobility is. They don't know what the hip looks like. And it's not, decisions not made in a vacuum. It didn't like you take Tua or nobody. Justin Herbert's out there, healthy, big, strong kid. Was great in the Rose Bowl. Great. He's emerging into a great team leader. This is a guy you can take. This is a safe pick, and it's a smart pick. I don't see how Tua goes in the top 10 of the draft. It's just true. With this kind of money invested in him, you just don't know.
Sarah Spain, you want back in?
Yeah, I just want to say there's no such thing as a safe pick
Thank
at quarterback
you,
in the NFL. That has been proven year over year how hard it is to choose a guy. So when you have one that you at least believe the ceiling to be much higher, especially a team like the Dolphins that elected not to go with Drew Brees because of a shoulder injury and went with Dante Culpepper and saw the difference there, they would rather aim big, I think, at this
All
point.
Right, Plaschke,
aiming
get
wrong.
Back in.
They're aiming wrong. They're aiming wrong. They're, again, it's sight unseen. You're spending millions on this guy when you know there's a quarterback out there who's maybe he's not, you say safe.
All right,
he's definitely safer.
Your scout work is world now.
I'm all on Justin Herbert. I'm all on Justin Herbert.
I would give you the point here, Plaschke, but it's just too much of a risk. It's just too much of a risk. Point, Sarah Spade. We move on. Buy or sell. Here's an interesting story. The NBA's PEP and G League versus college. Jalen Green, he could be number one pick in the 2021 NBA draft, a five-star recruit, the number one shooting guard, leading scorer on the U-17 national team, and Isaiah Todd, a five-star recruit, the number three power forward, who just decommitted from Michigan, both looking to forego college and make the jump to the pathway, the G League. Green announced, Todd expected to at any moment. Salary for Green reportedly could be $500,000, and both could play for a team in Southern California. Pablo Torre, I ask you, is this just two players making a move, or is this a game change?
This is a game change, first for me, because Jalen Green, America, is Filipino. And you need to know something. I've been claiming 1/8 of Nate Robinson for about a decade now. I can get the number one overall pick. This is my vision board come to life. So total game changer personally. Yep. The second level, though, is that this is the nightmare, Tony, for college basketball. You can pay a kid half a million dollars plus endorsements coming. College basketball has to figure out, are we going to actually do the thing with name, image, and likeness? Because our sell for top prospects gets worse by the day.
Bill Plaschke?
Jalen Green is also a Californian, Pablo, so he's that's level one for me.
Oh, and yeah. Second, so now it's a no-brainer. All right.
it's actually a no-brainer. I mean, do you go to a traditional university for a $60,000 scholarship, or do you go to MBA school and make $500,000 plus all your endorsements? I think all the top players start down this path, but I don't think it's a nightmare for college basketball. I think college basketball is actually, some of these coaches, the sport is better. It's a team sport. They want guys who will stay 4 years. This gets rid of the one and dones, gets them off the plate. I think it's fine for college basketball.
Sarah Spain.
First of all, America, he's a human being. And for me, that's really all that matters. I don't need to get into the details of where he's from. Listen, Bill, I'm curious whether you think a guy like Zion Williamson, a one and done, is exactly the kind of player that college coaches will be glad they don't have to bother with. I get your point, but come on, this is not a good thing for those coaches, and it's not a good thing for college basketball. It's one of many factors, whether that's name, image, and likeness, whether that's the FBI digging around in their business, that is contributing to the amateurism thing that they sold us on for years, falling apart, crumbling in front of us. And as soon as one of these guys, a couple of these guys open up the door and others see that it's a viable possibility to make money right now, especially when there's so many questions about college sports returning, it's going to see a flood of players deciding to do that. And we're going to get nearer to the end of one and done anyway.
All right, Pablo, one last chance to make your argument.
Yeah, this signals something different about the relationship between the NBA and the NCAA. Maybe the NCAA is fine with lesser players now, but there is no question that the pipeline has changed. They are doing this, the NBA is, because they were losing kids to Australia, right? LaMelo Ball, Australia. Now they're keeping them all domestically and not in college. That's a big problem.
On behalf of 1/8 of Nate Robinson, and also Andre Blatch, I believe, who played for the national team, the Philippines.
Legally, yes.
To Pablo Torre, Bill Plaschke, sorry to say, you got a front row seat for Spain-Torre showdown.
It's a big risk.
Here we go. The showdown topic is, once again, we're going into esports. The Madden Challenge. This is the latest in esports during quarantine. We've seen NBA 2K, we've seen iRacing, and we've seen the good and the bad for both of those. This will be DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, Stephon Diggs, Hollywood Brown, Drew Locke, Snoop Dogg, Lil Yachty playing in a Madden Challenge. Sarah Spain, first to you. Will you see the good here or the bad?
I'm going to see the good, and that's going to be that the average Joe, now albeit a famous rapper and extremely wealthy celebrity, can finally beat an athlete because those butts are used to sitting in a chair. They're not going to cramp up, and they've got the kind of focus to do that without any athletic ability whatsoever.
Pablo?
But there is another factor here, and this is why Snoop Dogg must be the prohibitive favorite here. He has performance-enhancing drugs in the world of video games. He has herbal supplements that might actually be legal in this case. And I am told that that is absolutely, absolutely helpful for what they're trying to accomplish.
You're told
too many munchy breaks.
I see where you're going there. It seems like you've done at least some test work on this as well. FaceTime, Pablo Torre, 30 seconds.
I just want more time to talk about Jalen Green, Tony. And this is why. I know Jalen Rose, my colleague from the Seaport, likes to claim that every Jalen that exists is in his personal coaching tree. So I just want to invite Jalen to share the bandwagon with me. Obviously, I'm going to be driving the jeepney here. But Jalen Rose, you're invited to sit right alongside me. The Rainbow Coalition under the flag of the Philippines will ride.
Man. All right, Pablo Torre, you know, once you've gone green,
somebody else has been taking those performance-enhancing drugs.
Undefeated. That's it for us. We're on a 23 and 50-minute break.